You're tuned to the Beacon, KSJE 90.9 FM. I'm Nick Michael, and I'm sitting here with
Ashley Londy
and Trevor Mava.
And you are tuned to our Review Too Far, where we watch movies and review them for your listening pleasure. This week, we have Fried Green Tomatoes, Breakfast at Tiffany's, and out in theaters now, Winchester. But let's get things started with Fried Green Tomatoes. It stars Jessica Tandy, Kathy Bates, Mary Stuart Masterson, and Mary Louise Parker in a tale about cross-generational female empowerment.
Where were you on the night of September 30th, 1933?
I was at the town hall doing a show.
And after that?
I was over at my mother's house.
Oh, yeah? Who was with you?
Just Big George and myself.
What about your mother? Can she confirm that?
No, sir. She died a year ago.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, but Miss Threadgood, you expect 12 intelligent men to believe you, although one witness is dead and the other is a colored man known to be a worthless, no-good liar, and you expect these men to take your word for it just because you say so?
That's right, you gum-faced, blown-up, baboon-ass bastard.
One more outburst like that and I'll hold you in contempt of court. You understand?
As mentioned, Fried Green Tomatoes stars Kathy Bates, Jessica Tandy, Mary Stuart Masterson, and Mary Louise Parker, but also there are Cicely Tyson, Chris O'Donnell, Stan Shaw, Galliard Sartain, Timothy Scott, and Gary Bassaraba. And let's talk about it. Ashley, what did you think of Fried Green Tomatoes?
I really like Fried Green Tomatoes. This is actually one of my favorite movies, and I watch it pretty regularly, so I was excited that we had a chance to do it for the show. I think this film has an incredible soundtrack. There's a clarinet solo that sort of is the anchor for the film, and every time I hear it, it immediately transports me to this movie and to the time and everything else. I don't think enough positive things can be said about the strength of the acting in this film, especially when it comes to Kathy Bates and Jessica Tandy. They are both wonderful, and I think at their prime in these roles. The only time I may prefer Jessica Tandy to this movie might be in Driving Miss Daisy, but she is just a powerhouse. She is such an incredible character and a wonderful casting choice for Ninny. I think that this film does a great job of balancing the real heavy pieces of the story and the real gravity of it with humor and lightheartedness and just good old-fashioned fun. There's a wonderful sense in this film of getting a complete picture of the characters, seeing them at their best, seeing them at their worst, and giving them the ability to grow and change and to love and to lose. And it's just a beautiful story. I recommend that if you haven't seen this film, that you do watch it and give yourself a chance to enjoy it. I think that there's something here for everybody, but I especially would recommend it for women. This is a very empowering film, and I think you'll feel great after you watch it.
Trevor?
1991's Fried Green Tomatoes. I'd never seen it before. We had to watch it on DVD this week because it's not on Netflix or Amazon Prime, but it is streaming on HBO or HBO Go if you have that. I really enjoyed this movie. The pacing on this movie was kind of mild, but it was entertaining and soothing because it was pretty much consistent the entire way through. There's a couple of parts in this movie that might blow your hair back or be unexpected or really exciting. But for the most part, it was just consistent, solid acting the entire way through. That was a nice little slice of life and friendship and love. I have to say, great, great job to Kathy Bates. I'd never seen anything of hers where she was so charming. I didn't know she could be so delightful. And like Ashley said, her female supporting cast matched her well. I'm almost left thinking that given the great job that everybody did in this movie, I wondered if the script or the plot was just a little bit too timid, which how much they had to work with. Overall, entertaining movie from start to finish, though of a mild pace. If you haven't seen it, I'd recommend it.
I too will recommend Fried Green Tomatoes. It's been almost 25 years, I guess, since I've seen this feature. I saw it when it first came out on VHS, I suppose, way back in the day, and haven't seen it since, which gave me the wonderful opportunity to forget most of the feature and enjoy it almost for the first time all over again. It's a very funny, lighthearted, occasionally dark, and emotionally poignant feature. It features a great cross-generational story that goes back and forth between Mary Louise Parker and Mary Stuart Masterson and Kathy Bates and Jessica Tandy. And I love the pacing of that. It shows these women's friendships and relationships growing at a wonderful pace. And the story, especially the murder mystery, I think it has a great resolution, and it's one of the funniest and best just desserts, I think, in cinema history. I like how this film portrays the Deep South with all its ills and strengths without going too much into the stereotypes. It's not amped for shock value. The KKK are there, there's racism, but it's matter of fact and it's historically accurate as opposed to super stylized and there to get your blood boiling. Yes, I was angry at the situation, but there was still lots of small moments of humanity for all of the characters to enjoy. I will recommend it, and I think that'll be a hat trick for us. And on that note, final thoughts. Ashley.
I love this movie. I can't get enough of it, and I think it's almost a perfect film. The secret's in the sauce. I'll give it 5 stars.
Trevor?
This movie is a strong comedy drama that has to be considered a chick flick that's nearing 30 years old now. And for us to give it the glowing praise that we did really says a lot about it. A strong 4 stars.
I think this was a great flick that was half period, half prosaic, and could have been a little bit braver, but strong performances all around. I too am going to give it a strong 4 out of 5. And that'll bring us to our second DVD of the week, and it is Breakfast at Tiffany's, in which Audrey Hepburn plays her iconic role of Holly Golightly, a party girl who falls in love with a poor writer while trying to marry up in Manhattan.
May I help you?
Perhaps. Actually, we were looking for a present for the lady.
Certainly, sir. Is there something special you had in mind?
Well, we had considered diamonds. Now, I don't want to offend you, but the lady feels that diamonds are tacky for her.
Oh, I think they're divine on older women, but I don't think it would be right for me. You do understand?
Certainly.
In all fairness, I think I ought to explain there is also a secondary problem, one of finance. We can only afford to spend a limited amount.
May I ask how limited?
$10.
$10.
Well, that was the outside figure, yes.
As mentioned, Breakfast at Tiffany's stars Audrey Hepburn, but also there are George Peppard, Patricia Neal, Buddy Ebsen, Martin Balsam, Jose Luis de Villayonga, John McGiver, and Mickey Rooney. And let's talk about it. Ashley, what did you think of Breakfast at Tiffany's?
I actually had a really similar experience with this film that Nick did with Fried Green Tomatoes, and that I watched it when I was a child and haven't seen it since, so I got to watch it now and realized I'd forgotten pretty much everything that happened in the film, and I really enjoyed it. Holly Golightly is such a charming character, and she starts out this party girl, and she's just so fun and sort of exuberant and eccentric, but then shifts and gives you more, and you end up sort of wondering about her life and her past, and it's kind of a beautiful story. I love the idea of having breakfast at Tiffany's. When I was in New York City as a teenager, I very much wanted to go have breakfast at Tiffany's because it sounded like a fancy thing to do. Unfortunately, they do not serve breakfast at Tiffany's, and I was unwilling to get up early enough to stand outside and look at the jewelry. I will say that this film sort of has a third act slump. I don't know that it really gives you what you're looking for. If you're paying attention, you can sort of figure out what's going on with Sal Tomato. And if you kind of are paying attention, you know that that's going to come up. And I sort of wish it would come up a little earlier in the film as opposed to as late as it does to give it more intrigue. But I love that her cat's name is Cat and that she is who she is and is non-apologetic. I'd recommend the film, but I do think that it's a little slow in the third act.
Trevor?
Well, I was fortunate this week because, like Fried Green Tomatoes, I'd actually never seen Breakfast at Tiffany's either. And so this was a good week for me to catch up on a couple of true classics. I'd long heard of this movie as being Audrey Hepburn's most famous movie, and I had this picture of it, of glamour and humor, and holding it up on a pedestal as such a great movie, that going into it, it turned out to be a pretty good surprise for me as far as what it actually tries to accomplish. It wasn't terribly glamorous, and it was much more about the realities of people. This movie says a lot about gender roles, and the way that the male lead, I forget his name, I'm sorry, Fred Baby or Paul Baby, and the way and what he has in common with Holly Golightly, the what comes up about her past and what's going to happen with her future is a direction that I did not see this movie going. And in the end, I kind of appreciated it for being more of a heartfelt story about life instead of some glamorous portrayal that nobody could really relate to unless you were truly getting breakfast at Tiffany's. With the high expectations that I had for this movie, I found myself a little bit disappointed. But in the end, I found myself being amused and entertained in ways that I did not expect to be, and I'll recommend it.
Well, I guess this is going to be another case where we're all agreeing, because Breakfast at Tiffany's is a great film, and I enjoyed it quite a bit. There is one egregious fault that I find with the film, and that is the very offensive and stereotyped portrayal of a Japanese-American by Mickey Rooney. I can't help but cringe every time he's on screen as Mr. Yuniyoshi, the upstairs landlord or neighbor. It's implied that he's also a pornographer, and he's just uptight, and it's a slapstick kind of lighthearted character that's supposed to break the heavy mood that occasionally comes around for Breakfast at Tiffany's, and I think that's a major flaw with the feature. But whenever he's not around and it's just George Peppard and Audrey Hepburn, it's beautiful. They have great chemistry together. It's a nice, subtle back and forth where they have a lot of give and take in terms of snark and wit. And I agree with Trevor that the shifting gender roles of the 60s were on full display here, and I really enjoyed that about the feature. Both Holly Golightly trying to marry up and Paul being a kept man were really interesting and kind of groundbreaking for the era. Overall, I will say that Breakfast at Tiffany's is a super strong film. It's not perfect, thanks to Mr. Yuniyoshi, but I would give it a strong recommendation. And on that note, final thoughts. Ashley.
It's certainly not my favorite Audrey Hepburn, but it's very good, and I will give it 4 stars.
Trevor?
The good far outweighs the bad here. I'll echo Nick's sentiment about Mickey Rooney and also add that I loved the portion of the movie where they spend the day doing things that they'd never done before. Very good movie. 3.5 stars.
I'm back up to 4 myself with Ashley. I think this is a strong, iconic feature for Audrey Hepburn. Not so much for George Peppard, but I enjoyed it. I just can't forgive it totally for Mickey Rooney's Mr. Yuniyoshi. And that'll bring us to our cinema release of the week, and it is Helen Mirren in Winchester, in which she plays the spiritualist widow of the Winchester fortune, who creates a maze of a house in order to keep the spirits confused, because some of them are trying to do her family harm.
So, why all the noise? Why all this construction?
They want me to build, Doctor. The spirits. Killed by the rifle. They guide me.
Guide you in drawing building plans?
Yes. You see, once their rooms are completed, their presence grows stronger.
Hence the house that spirits built.
Yes. At the chime of midnight, they clamor. The bells summon them. They communicate through plans, drawings. They want me to reconstruct the rooms that they died in. Then they can enter our world. The trouble is, I don't always know who it is I'm speaking with. It could be some innocent bystander or a victim of a crime or someone else.
As mentioned, Helen Mirren stars in Winchester, but also there are Jason Clarke, Sarah Snook, and Finn Shikluna Opre. And let's talk about it. Ashley, what did you think of Winchester?
I really wanted this movie to be good. When I saw the previews for it, it looked like it could be truly scary and a good horror flick. When I saw that it was rated PG-13, my hopes dipped, and as soon as I was probably 15 minutes into the movie, I knew I was in trouble. This movie is not good. It is not interesting. It is not scary. It is not funny. It is not exciting. It is not tense. It is nothing. It is a waste of an hour and a half. I wanted it to be terrifying because the concept of it is very scary and very interesting, but it just doesn't do it. The reveals take entirely too long. All of the jump scares are telegraphed. There's nothing truly scary about this movie. And the truly scary thing about this movie is the idea of how these ghosts are coming to this house. And you don't get it until you're 2/3 of the way through the film, so you have no ability to have tension. The ways in which problems are solved in this movie are stupid. They make no sense. And they're not consistent, which is really frustrating. I will not recommend it. I think it's an enormous waste of time. And I'm very disappointed because I thought it could have been a very good movie and it's just not.
Trevor?
Yeah, the theme of my sentiment should be stay away as well. I think that the best part of this movie was the first 30, 45 minutes where you were still uncertain that it wasn't going to be so bad, which I think is one of the worst characteristics that a movie can have, though I doubt it was intentional. That was still the result, where in the beginning things are dark and shadowy, and the future's unknown, and the whole tone of people's voices and the plot and the story and the setting is one of old-fashioned melancholy, where when you have a movie that broadcasts so firmly that it's like inspired by true events and there's this haunted mansion, that it had potential, like Ashley said, to be a frightening story, despite the fact that there might have been a couple of jump scares that had an effect on the audience that I went and saw this movie with. The movie itself was terrible. I don't know anything about the Winchester heiress and Helen Mirren's character, but if it's true that there's a haunted mansion where something happens, like in history, then you should be able to make a moderately decent movie out of it. This movie came in with CGI and special effects that were annoying, and a plot that I just didn't care about, and as a movie, it failed. And so if the 13% on Rotten Tomatoes doesn't get you to stay away, I hope our reviews do.
Like Ashley, I had high hopes when it came to Winchester, especially because it has the pedigree of Helen Mirren in the feature, and I love Helen Mirren to death, and she can basically do no wrong, though I have to admit, some of her cameos in recent years haven't quite thrilled me. When it comes to Winchester, though, while I am the most positive person in the room, it's pretty bad. It's cheesy. It doesn't earn its jump scares, and it's overall rather lackluster. I think I would much rather have seen something in the vein of The Awakening, which is a much superior kind of turn of the century gothic horror feature. It carried its mystery much better than Winchester did. Winchester is all about conjuring style jump scares and not so much about setting the mood. I do want to say that I think Jason Clarke and Helen Mirren did all right, but they also felt like they were doing dinner theater for most of it. Jason Clarke plays a psychologist who may or may not be mercenary enough to lie for the Winchester board and get her off of said board as a woman, which I think would have been an interesting premise for them to capitalize on in terms of movie drama. But instead, he's just this kind of quack who's hooked to laudanum, and it's just not a very compelling case. And Helen Mirren, she never really sells the grieving mother and widow angle. She just kind of barrels through this role and doesn't really settle into someone who really believes in ghosts. I never really believed that of her. Overall, I think this is a rental at best and a weak one at that. I'm not going to give it a great rating, but I think my rating will be higher than my compatriots. On that note, final thoughts. Ashley.
I'll take exception to Nick putting the jump scares in this film in league with The Conjuring, because it's an insult to The Conjuring. Those films are much scarier than this one, and frankly better. This is not worth your time. the only redeeming quality is Helen Mirren, and she's really not that great, and I'm sorry to say it. And her with an American accent is weird to me. Half a star.
I'm a huge fan of scary movies, and this movie probably could have had 10% of its budget and tried to stick to what the real story was here about the Haunted Mansion. The finished product was bad, and I wasn't entertained, and I have to reinforce the idea that you shouldn't see this unless you want to see a movie that's supposed to be scary that you can just criticize in the second half of it. It probably deserves one star. I'm just not sure where.
For my own part, I am conflicted about my rating. I don't think it deserves much. It could have been a much better feature, and I think it's just jump scares and no story and no heart. And the acting, while palatable, was not powerful. I'm going to give it one star, and I think it's a generous star at that. It's at best a rental if you like Helen Mirren and Jason Clarke. But other than that, stay away. There are much better features for this era. One of them, I think, would be The Awakening. And I believe that will bring us to a close. If you have any questions, comments, and the like, please feel free to email. You can reach us at ksje@sanjuancollege.edu. Just make sure you put a review too far in the subject line, and we will be sure to get it. Any parting thoughts as we go?
I'd like to thank Allen Theaters for bringing these films to our community and KSJE and San Juan College for hosting our program.
And from the studios of KSJE, I am Nick Michael, and I've been sitting here with
Ashley Londy
and Trevor Mayville.
And we'll see you folks next week with more reviews and hopefully some recommendations. Coming up, we're going to visit a movie we almost missed and watch Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle.
I'm going your way to Drifter. Off to see the world, there's such a lot of world.